Welcome to Tea
with Mrs. S, a podcast about relationships, life, and everything around us.
Hello.
What up?
How are you?
I'm good.
You sound tired.
Am I tired? Yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, the usual Saturday shenanigans. So, I'm not tired. I don't know how I sound. Anyway, what up?
What up?
Yeah, what's on the agenda for today? Let's get right into it now.
You want to get right into it?
Okay. Let's get right into it.
Let's get right into it. I saw this article online about this woman. Is that what I would call her? Or is it gay friend? She's something, Sha. So basically what had happened was they had hired her to be a surrogate for a couple. And turns out that they had tried IVF, I believe, at first, and that didn't work out. Now, I'm not sure of the timing, but apparently she had an affair with the husband, got pregnant twice, and had an abortion twice. Now, she's claiming, so after the IVF failed, according to her.
The surrogate you're talking about.
Yes, the surrogate.
Surrogate.
Now, according to her, the husband had told her, you know, let them try naturally since the IVF failed. And she was willing to do that.
The IVF failed with the wife, right?
No, the IVF failed with the surrogate.
Oh, not the wife.
They had already gone through their process of trying.
But
they also went through an IVF process with the
surrogate. With the surrogate as well.
Failed.
Okay, gotcha.
And so she says the guy asked her to, you know, let them try naturally, which they did, and it worked out. But she also claims that he had told her that, oh, if they had the baby, he would leave his wife and he would, you know, set up family with her, or I don't know. Anyway, long story short, she shall bond the baby. Then now that the baby is here, entered his wife back and they ended their affair. And now she wants visitation or something to do with the child. And they're like, auntie, you signed all these papers before giving up all the rights to this child. So you can't come now and start claiming. So she's in court, basically, saying that she wants to have access to the child. It's just messy. I don't even know how the wife is coping. Like, it's so messy. So, but the George, I think, did not give her access to the child, but I think she's appealing or something. I don't even know. I was just reading this thing. My mouth was just dropping at each revelation. Like, really? Wow.
Well, I mean, I think it's ridiculous. There's a familiar story. I mean, it's somewhat different because the chick is claiming that this was a Reddit story that went around sometime either last year or earlier this year, where the chick claims that she had been having an extramarital affair with this guy who was married. And then it's almost the same story. I'm surprised it's the same chick. You know, she had abortions before with, you know, but she knew that the guy was married. And in his own marriage, he was having difficulty. You know, they didn't have any children. And this girl had abortions before. But then finally she got pregnant again and she has this child. And she's claiming that the man's wife is acting as if she's the mother of the child. You know, like she's stalking her or something like that or whatever. And I was like, the story sounds very suspect, you know. Very, very suspect. Just like this one who is claiming, oh, she had an affair. She had a love affair with this guy and their plan was to run away together with their child. And I'm like, you know, this is, you know, you're ridiculous, right? You know that a man who if there's anything that's more difficult in a marriage, well, let's not talk about having issues with finances and things like that, because this also becomes an issue with finances, is when a woman and her husband want to have children and they do everything. A man that will stay with a woman who, I'm going to use a word that is terrible, who is barren. A barren woman who she must have a baby, and a man who is willing to stick with that woman. Let me tell you, young lady, who has already killed a few babies, sorry for you. You're lying. I honestly believe that they had an agreement with her. Even this other story I told you, the Reddit story, I honestly believe that the married couple probably had an agreement with these other women. Well, for the Reddit story, definitely. Maybe the wife realized that her husband was cheating on her and said, do you want to follow this woman? Or what's your plan? And the man probably said, no, I'm with you. Okay, and then she says, what's up with the baby? And then he probably said, well, let me talk to this chick since she's not really wanting to have children. After all, she's had abortions before, to see if she's going to let me just take my child. And that was probably what they agreed to. And now this woman is, you know, sometimes, have you noticed how women feel like they're going to use their children to get what they want from the man, or even vice versa? The man can do that as well. Have you noticed that is a thing?
Yeah. People, I mean, human beings are manipulative. So people will manipulate with whatever they think they can use to manipulate you. Yep. So it's interesting. I just, the whole surrogacy thing is really, really interesting. And I can't imagine how much legalese has to be tied up in that, because it must be very difficult for all parties concerned. Difficult for the woman, because, you know, every time I keep thinking back to Kim Kardashian, and we know that they did use a surrogate. And I believe she talked about how difficult it was for her to get to that decision, realizing that her body could not function the way that she wanted it to bring her child into the world. And it's a difficult decision. And the different types of surrogates. So you have the surrogate where, okay, you know that the person is just acting as a vessel because they're using your own genetic material, versus where the person is using their own eggs.
Mm.
Ah, wahala niye. You know, it must be a difficult process. I can't imagine how emotional and heart-wrenching it is for anybody who is going through that process to get to that point where you realize, okay, this is the decision I have to make.
Yeah, was it a story we talked about on our podcast? There was another one. I think this was this. They were in New Zealand. Did we talk about it here? Where the woman, you know, she, same situation. She was trying to have a baby. She couldn't. And then they decided to go to get into surrogacy, and she had, she had tried to do IVF and the babies weren't viable. And her friend now came and said, oh, let me help you, you know? And everybody agreed to it. And she, you know, they did the whole thing and the baby was viable. And then halfway through the pregnancy, she had an abortion.
Jesus.
And she didn't tell the friend. This is supposed to be her friend, though. And this is her friend who encouraged her and said, look, I'll do this for you.
Oh, wow.
And then I think in New Zealand, they don't have those type of laws. They're like the surrogate is always the person who decides. Or so you have no recourse. If the person who is having the surrogate decides, I know, do that's for your pocket, you know. And I don't think that there's a fee structure, like you could, there's a payment deal, you know, that's right. Not done there, as opposed to here. There are contracts involved, and if you don't perform, you have to, you have recourse. There isn't that. So the girl had the abortion, you know, and then the parents of the child realized something was wrong because they weren't hearing from this woman anymore. Then the woman's husband or boyfriend or whatever said they lost the baby. And they knew that it wasn't a matter of she lost the baby. They knew it was the woman had an abortion because of the way the story was told. And her chances of having a child just dashed. And I was like, what kind of friend is that? I was like, who the hell does that? So yeah, surrogacy, I mean, the whole...
Human beings.
It's so painful. We were watching America's Got Talent the other day. I flipped through and I saw this girl on there who is a... she's a dancer. And she was adopted. So they were talking to her and she was telling them about... You know how they ask you, who are you? Tell us. And then, so she said, you know, she was adopted as a little girl and she used to be bullied or she didn't have a lot of friends and her parents encouraged her to dance and all that. And I just, I feel like people who adopt children are a special breed. Like I think they're angels. They're amazing. You know, do you feel the same way? Because I'm just like, people who go out and take someone else's child, not of them, you know, and treat that child with so much love and affection. Those people are amazing. You know,
they are. There's nothing that can be said against that. Yeah, they are. I can't argue that. They are.
You know, because I was thinking about it. I was like, I mean, look at my old age now.
It's not,
you know,
easy.
It's not.
And you hear stories of, there was this lady who adopted a child from Russia.
Mm.
And the child came into the United States and turned out that the child had a lot of behavioral issues. And she just quietly puts the child on a plane. This is the one that broke my heart. Unaccompanied, and sent the child back to Russia. Like, how wicked can people be?
Who is the wicked one?
The woman that sends the child back to Russia after adopting the child, going through the process.
But see, that's why I'm saying that they're special, because I'm like, really, what do you do in that situation? You've been looking forward to a child.
If it was your own child.
Yeah, see, but that's the thing, though. That's my point. And that's why I'm saying these people are special. Because it's not your own child.
Mm. I think that way of thinking about it is not accurate. When you say it's not your own child, when you make a commitment to adopt a child, it is your child, period. End of conversation.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm calling them special.
There should be no recourse. To send the child back to Russia.
That is why I'm calling them special.
I was actually even listening to this other show, which I thought was interesting. It was an adoption agency, and they don't even allow the parents to specify in any way, shape, or form what or who they want. And their philosophy is that if you were to birth the child naturally, you'd get what you'd get. And I was
not
like,
these days you can.
No, I'm just telling you what their philosophy is.
Mm.
And I was like, that's a bit difficult for me. Nobody's trying to get into a difficult enough process and then buy yourself more stress.
Now you're going back because you call that woman wicked. Back. No, listen to what you're saying though.
I'm not going
because you called her wicked, you know.
She is wicked. If it was her child, she would not send the child anywhere.
But you're, it's not her child. That is why that position is.
Once she signed the documents and took possession of that child and said, I am adopting this child, that is her child. End of story.
So why do people get divorced? They went in front of God and said forever, 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 and yet they get divorced.
Remember, we've had this before, and I've said to you, children are off limits.
How are children off limits?
There's an agreement you can have with an adult. You're two adults, and you know that there's an escape clause, not an escape clause, but you know that maybe sometimes things don't work out. Huh? Children are off limits.
What are you talking about, escape clause?
What I mean, not even escape clause. I'm saying when you get married, nobody gets married to get divorced. However, everybody as an adult over a certain age has lived life enough to know that things don't always go the way they're supposed to. But when you're dealing with children being the key word here, this is what I'm saying, you don't get to send them back.
So let me explain to you and let me tell you why I'm saying they are, people who adopt children are a special breed. And when I say people who adopt, because tons of people adopt, like this woman who sent the child back, some people, she wouldn't be in the category of the special breed, right? I'm talking about the people who take on children, and no matter what those children do, they're there as those children's parents. It is not easy. It is not easy at all to do that on both sides. On the one hand, you know, even though you want to do everything and you're trying your best for this child, one day, and let's just say this is a situation where you never told the child was adopted, right? And then finally you told the child that, oh, you were adopted. Now the child knows that they're adopted, and then immediately their mind goes to all the times you yelled at them, you know? And then the child's like...
And then they'll tell you, oh, I want to go and look for my parents.
Right, yes, the child, all the times you yelled at them, and then like, oh, that's why you're yelling at me, right? Because I'm adopted. Meanwhile, you're like, I treated you like my child. Of course I'm going to yell at you. So it's hard for the parent, because in their mind, those are all the things they have to contend with. Wow, can I be myself with this child? Is this child pisses me off? Hold on. If this child pisses me off, can I tell this child that the child pissed me off? So you find that a lot of parents who adopt overcompensate. Especially the ones who, you know, they want to show that child, you mean so much to me. You know, they want to give that child everything, because they never want that child to ever feel for one second that, hey, this, hold on now, let me finish.
No, I
hear you. They never want that child to feel for one second that they were adopted, you know, that nobody wanted them.
Your own flesh and blood child will tell you things that will cut your soul. Like, you have stories where some child that you brought out of your birth canal will be like, I hate you, I'm going to find my real mother. You can imagine.
How can a child that you brought out of your canal say they hate you, they're going to find their real mother?
In anger, kids say lots of things sometimes, you know. They will. Sometimes in anger, kids say all sorts of things. You can't really control what they're going to say, based in fact or based in fiction, you know. A child can get up and say, I don't think you're my real mother. The way you're treating me is impossible. I'm sure I was adopted. There are many things that happen. I'm not even going to get into that. But I'm saying that when a child says that and you are cut up, you are, no matter how caught up you are confident in the fact that Nami Bond is speaking, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out, I'm going to drive whatever demon is inside you out. Sometimes when people are dealing with a different situation, sometimes I think there's that hesitancy. I don't know, because I'm not in that situation, but there might be a hesitancy. Said maybe people may overcompensate because there's a hesitancy to go the extra mile, because you don't want the child to think you're treating them any differently than you would treat a child that is of your own genetic makeup. It's interesting, the whole arrangement.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying they're special, because those are the things you have to think of all the time. You know, I don't want this child to ever feel like, you know, I'm treating them this way because they're adopted. So how can you be yourself with that child? So, because B and I were talking about it, I was like, it's a lot. It's a lot to think of and a lot to take on, you know, because you know, and then he was like, but your own child. I was like, your own child knows they're your own child. You know, they can't, they can mouth off, they can say all that stuff or whatever, but there's no doubt in the mind that they can go and do DNA test. So it won't be that, oh, they're doing this because I'm adopted. But an adopted child, you know, there's truth to it. You're adopted. So you can't, how do you explain, no, I'm not doing this because you're adopted. I'm doing this because you did a bad thing and I'm your mother and I have to tell you. No, you're not my mother. You know, how do you do that? There is truth to it. So it's just very special.
I think it probably gets harder as the kids get older, because when they're young, it's just love. You know, the kids are too young to process the difference between their birth mother versus biological mother versus adopted mother. All they have is their mother. And probably it is maybe an easier transition if you adopt the child from, you know, when they're one or two or a baby, versus adopting a 15-year-old or,
I mean, that's
15-year-old.
But that's if, because some people opt to tell their children from jump, you're adopted, you know? Some people wait. Some people are like, no, she's never going to know she's adopted. And I like to understand, you know, the reasoning behind people doing, you know, making that decision. Why did you decide to tell this child they were adopted? Why did you decide to hold off to never reveal and to tell everybody, mind you? Because basically, if they're not revealing, nobody ever knows that.
Exactly.
They adopted that child. They'll make it look as if, no, I birthed this child. And then the ones who wait till the child is, I guess, of an age where they think the child can understand it, and then they tell. I want to know what makes people, you know, decide either way, which way to go. You know, what would you, let me ask you this. If it were you, if you ever entertained the idea of adopting a child, which stance would you take?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I've had this conversation with a number of people, and every time we have the conversation, I have to say, I don't know. On the one hand, it feels like you would want to be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you'd be, why do I have to give anybody information that they don't need? And not for
what do you mean, child. Anybody?
Like, when you say a child is adopted,
mm.
you can choose to tell the child. You can choose to tell your family members.
Child. Which one would you go? Would you ever tell? Would you tell the child from jump? Would you not tell the child at all? Or would you tell the child when the child's at a certain age?
I don't know. It seems disingenuous. It almost seems dishonest not to tell the child just because of things that might come up because of medically, for example.
Right.
So the child would need to know so that they're properly prepared. I don't know. I would probably, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know. It would have to be a decision you would have to face when you actually get into that kind of conversation.
It's tricky.
I'm not sure.
You know?
I would almost think I would lean towards maybe not tell the child until I thought they were old enough. But then I feel sometimes like the longer you wait to give people information, the more difficult it gets, or, you know, the more it starts to seem like somebody was hiding something.
Yeah, I feel as if there'd be a lot more work that would go into.
You would either have
not telling. Right.
Yeah, you'd either have to start from the beginning and say, I'm telling, or you never tell.
Yeah, I feel so like there'll be a lot more work going into not telling at all, because then you're going to have to make sure nothing could come up to where the child could ever find out. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's going to be a lot of work that goes into it. This child I'm getting, can I give this child blood if there's a need for it? Because I don't want one. Oh, your blood doesn't match. Hey. Where did this one come from? You know,
or, outcome.
You're right. Or you plan to adopt, and you told your so-called best friend. Now goes and tells everybody, and then one day when your child is arguing with their own child, that child will now say, "Look at you, an adopted person." You know what I mean? And you're like, "Wait, what?" So it's that. I think there's a lot of work that goes into that.
I had that happen to me. Really? We had a family friend who I never knew that their kids were adopted. And some rando individual out of nowhere felt the need to give me that information. And I had never known, it had never even occurred to me. I just had always thought those were their kids. And I felt very, very violated and upset because I was like,
why are you violated?
She didn't have to give me the information.
Well, you're not the one who's adopted.
Yeah, but I didn't need the information. I was like, why are you going around spreading out other people's information?
Now, if they had do the kids know that they're adopted?
I honestly don't know because it's never come up. I don't know. It's never come up. But now I have this information that I wish I didn't have. Like, hello.
Why? What does it change?
I don't need the information.
No, but it doesn't change anything. Exactly.
See the question you just asked me. Do they know? I don't know whether they know or don't.
No, so why is it affecting you, though, is my question.
I think it's rude for people to go around spreading other people's information. First of all,
but why is it affecting you? It may be rude, but why was it a violation to you?
Because that's how I felt. I felt like, look, don't be giving me information that I don't need to have. Don't violate my own space. Really.
No, how did the story start? Why couldn't you cut her off?
I don't.
So she just immediately said,
It happened a while ago. I don't remember how it happened. I don't remember the specifics of the conversation. But I remember what happened, you know. And I remember cutting the girl off almost immediately because I was like, tomorrow is me she'll be talking about. Do I know what she'll now go and say?
But she already divulged the info now. So it has already entered your head because here we are talking about it.
No, it has, but I'm saying I cut her off.
I did not bring her into
my space because I was
if she can do this to
other people, then she's probably going to do it to me. And I don't know what information she's not going to go and give someone willy-nilly.
For sure.
I was like, please, let me just respect myself. Girl, keep it moving. Out you go.
There are people who are ridiculous like that. I mean, it's the whole thing about having babies and things like that. It's a difficult, important part of family life, I guess. And it is definitely hard, you know. But I don't know, would I? If I'm adopting a baby, newborn baby, nobody would ever know. I don't think it would be something that I need to share because that's my baby from birth.
That's your baby.
Exactly. That is my baby. But if I'm adopting a child who's already 1, 2, 3, no need to keep it, you know, because nobody saw my belly big or all of a sudden, where were you hiding this child? Do you understand what I'm saying?
So, COVID.
Right? So there's no way, you know, it makes zero sense to hide it from the child because people are cruel. They can now use it to harm my child. So no, I'm going to tell my child, don't get it twisted. You're my child no matter what. But I want you to understand that I adopted you. And I'm telling you this because anything can happen. If you're sick and I'm not able to, you know, give to you what needs to make you feel better or whatever, and somebody comes in the hospital and says, wait, is this actually your child? I want you to understand that this is the reason, you know? So that's completely, because people will know and people are going to, that's why she's treating you like that because you're adopted. No. Don't let anyone use that against you because I love you no matter what. You're my child. But even the whole adoption thing, could I ever do it? I don't know. It's tough. I think about it. I'm like, could I do it? You know? Because I'm a stickler. If the child is being naughty, I'll tell you what you're doing doesn't make sense. And I don't want the child to say, hey, you're talking to me like that because you adopted me. And I'm like, no, I
never. Or the child will run away.
You know?
They'll run away because you're not their real mother.
Right. I'm like, don't do that.
And that's what I'm trying to say to you. Like,
kids I have to be able to bring you up the way that I would bring up any child of mine.
Yeah, so kids don't do get the darnest things.
Because I yelled at you, and don't make that a thing. Don't say, oh, you adopted me. Say, yeah, I'm going to yell at you.
Kids, I've told you, normal kids from the child that people give from their birth canal will run away and say, I'm running away. You cannot be my real parent. The way you're treating me is foul. And so there's...
The difference, I get you, and I'm not saying that's not a thing. I mean, children, especially when they start getting into those teenage years, I went through that. They become animals. They become devils. They become whatever. It's that whole hormones and trying to figure out who you are situation and not knowing how to deal with it. So, yes, but the point I'm trying to make is your own biological child that you birth doesn't have a leg to stand on using that argument.
True that.
But an adopted child does have a leg to stand on. So it's more difficult to convince that child, no, it's not because you're adopted. That's the point I'm trying to make. Because they are actually adopted. And if they say, no, you're treating me badly because I'm adopted, it's a long road to making them understand that's not why. You did a bad thing, and as your mother, I have to tell you. And they're like, no, that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it because I'm adopted. So they do have a leg to stand on. That's the point I'm trying to make.
I see many, many years of therapy.
Please, oh no.
Involved in that matter. It's not easy, whichever way you slice it, but God bless everyone who has adopted every single child and treated them as their child.
Yeah, with love. They deserve accolades, because it's not easy. It really, and it's not even about the child that is adopted. For the actual parent, the mental strength to deal with so many different things and to just forget the fact that this child did not come out of your stomach. You know, there's a lot to it. So they deserve... Yeah, they deserve the accolade.
For sure. 100%. But back to the surrogate thieving. She wanted to steal the husband and the child. Like, really? She didn't even want to take one.
She's a foolish thing.
She's like, I'll take your husband and I'll take your child. Like, hello? Just because I can. He loves me.
But he says the thing, he doesn't. And
instead, we're going to run away together and raise our love child.
What rubbish. Why would he even want to be with her? You know? Why?
Why do women
put themselves in situations like that?
Life is funny. Sometimes it just happens. I don't think anybody puts themselves in a bad situation or an awkward situation.
Sorry, what?
People don't necessarily just wake up nilly and pick poison, right?
What are you talking about? If you knew that the guy was married, if you knew he was married from jump, not the one that he kept it a secret and then you happened upon it, you knew he was married and that's the person you decided to align yourself with. You're saying people don't wake up.
I'm saying it probably did not happen as a conscious choice from jump.
Was she sleeping?
Probably. Because these things, it probably crept up on her. Yeah, people
how
like,
did it creep up? I just gave happened. You a picture and I we know. Read it. And how so did listen, it creep up
so
on her? She knew
me.
That the woman, was, the man was
me.
Married.
When she started, the guy was married. She thought she could maintain certain boundaries.
Stop right there. Let's work with what you just said.
Let me finish.
No, you can finish. You said
let
when she started, the guy was married.
Let me finish, okay? She got into the situation, yes, I'll be your surrogate, thinking she could maintain certain boundaries and probably tried to.
No!
But then, let me finish. Ah, Actually, I'm the one describing my own scenario.
Is it your scenario? I thought you were telling me the story.
I'm describing a scenario to you. You said to me, how do people walk into these things, you know? And I'm saying this is how it may happen sometimes. You wake up, you agree to something. Then they started interacting. She and the man and the woman. And maybe she was now seeing their life. And she's like, wow, this guy is such a nice guy. He really loves his wife. And she's starting to feel, oh my God, this is so nice. And before you know it, the guy starts talking to her. And she's like, oh my God, this guy is so nice. He treats his wife so well. And she suddenly starts imagining herself in that life. And before you know it, the guy is telling her, I love you. And she's like, oh, I love you too. And she's imagined that he's now going to transfer all that love that she saw him showering on his wife onto her.
How does that change what I just asked you?
I'm saying
it's... You said sometimes it doesn't happen. Are you a dummy?
I said it doesn't. It's not like someone walks into a situation.
But she walked into the situation. She
didn't plan. What do you mean by plan it?
There's nothing to plan. That's my point.
Jesus. You know what?
How do you say she didn't?
It just happened.
There's no such thing as just happened. You don't see someone who is married and decide that's where you want to be. And so there's not just happened. You don't know. That's not what you're saying. I'm saying that's ridiculous. That's asinine for anyone to wake up and see, oh, he's married. Oh, look how nicely he treats his wife. And then that's the one you want.
That was not, it didn't start out, listen, it didn't start out with her saying that's the one she wanted. She got into the situation because they asked her to be a surrogate. Left on her own, she would have been minding her own business.
They go and start having an affair with a man.
That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that left on her own, she may never have interacted or had... They would have never had an intersection. She would never have met the couple.
She's there for a job.
She would never have met the couple.
Your house cleaner coming into your house to clean your house. Oh, the man treats his wife so well. Now they have an affair. What are you talking about?
What I'm saying is that, yes, sometimes the situation creates the entry point for things that should never have occurred and may never have occurred to occur. So all of a sudden now, this girl is, she's going to be the surrogate. And maybe she went into it. She wasn't planning anything. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that she was right in what she did.
You're holding court for her. If you're not saying she was right, then she was wrong. You're holding court for her. I'm saying sometimes people just walk in. Sometimes it just happens. There's no such thing as sometimes it just happens when you know that the man is married. That doesn't make any sense to me.
People say that their emotions are beyond them. So her emotions grew.
That makes no sense.
She cannot control it.
The girl is like,
that
oh my God,
makes
I no felt, sense.
I it, did not.
Listen, it's not like she was.
Will be. I did not intend to fall in love with
that
him.
Makes but zero I, sense. Fell, that makes zero sense.
With
that
each
makes
other.
Zero
caution to the wind. And if the guy was really, really crazy, he may have said, you know what, I'm leaving my wife. People do that all the time. Guys do that all the time. They leave their wives and go off.
Talking about listen, people meet people every day and they fall in love every day. People meet married men every day and they don't know they're married and they fall in love. That's not what I'm talking about. This is not the situation. She was there to do a job. She knew fully well this man was married.
The job evolved. What job is this to you? I'm just telling.
Can you imagine?
You know, they'll be like, oh my God, I didn't realize I just developed feelings for him. And she'll be like, I didn't want to hurt the wife, but our feelings for each other are so strong.
She's foolish.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, well done. Like, don't leave. Don't leave by the motto. You're mad. I'm
you just saying.
My child. Nonsense and ingredients.
And then she'll be like, I didn't know I would love this child so much when I was signing the agreement. I really thought I could give her
yeah,
up.
Yeah, surrogacy is tough. It's really tough because, again, and that's almost the same thing as the adopted kind of thing. You know, you birth, especially when you brought up Kim, because her first two children she gave birth to, and the next two were surrogates. And I know that her issue was, am I going to love my children? Who else did that? Candy, I think, is another person. Actually, there are a lot of people who use surrogates.
I didn't think that was her issue because the kids were her genetic makeup, right? Or was,
even,
well, I mean,
even then, yeah. Yeah. Even then, you know, one of the problems in their minds is like, oh my God, am I going to have the same, you know, maternal feelings for this child, since the child didn't, you know, grow up in me? And then once the child is here, it's like it never happened. You know what I mean? It's yeah. like you actually birthed them. So it's the, oh, it's amazing. It is amazing. Babies are the best. So
babies are a gift from God.
Oh yeah. They're adorable. Even though they're going to grow up to be monsters.
Some of them. My goddaughter is not in that category at all.
They are amazing things. So yeah, you know, when you start thinking about, okay, so now, you know, it's kind of coming full circle, because now I'm getting it, because you want a child so much, you know, once you have that baby in your arms, you completely forget that it wasn't a child that you birthed. So yeah, I can see it. Oh man, that's sweet. Anyway. What else is going on around in the world?
I have no clue. You tell me. What have
you? So you remember you were talking about that Rachel Nichols person?
Oh yeah.
Who made that comment about?
Sorry, not sorry. About Maria Taylor, right?
Mm-hmm. That so she you know she didn't realize that. And it was her fault, apparently. She left her mic on or something, you know, hot mic. And she was talking about, you know, this whole thing. And she was talking about diversity. And she was talking about, oh, okay, you know, you're trying to make your black quotas sort of situation.
Don't do it on my own, on my account.
So yesterday I watched, and I really, really wish you watched these Housewives, because sometimes they have topics that are worth discussing. I really wish you could watch it. So this is Real Housewives of New York, and they have the first black chick on there. Her name is Ebony K. Williams. She's an attorney, and she has this huge Black Lives Matter platform. So she's on the show, and every time they get together, she's always trying to explain, like somebody will do something that she finds odd. So she feels the need to explain to this person, hey, you know, don't do this, black girl, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, she's explaining blackness to them. So one of the episodes, she decided to invite the girls over to Harlem to show them, you know, her neck of the woods, and then she assigned all of them, you know, different black characters, and she was going through this whole black history thing. And after that event, some of the girls got together. They were like, oh my gosh, did you get a load of that event? I mean, she felt the need to be teaching us, wah, 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 wah. So they all had something to throw in. Now, one of the, I can't stand this girl. And I don't know why she's on the show. Her name is Leah. She's, because from time to time, each one of them plans a trip. So this one has planned a trip to Salem to one studied the witches and all these stuff. They're going to the Hawthorne Hotel or whatever. They're all going to dress up in black lace and spandex. So they're all sitting down there, and one of the ladies was talking about, yeah, how they were talking about, she was trying to hook this girl up with, what is that bank's name? Morgan. I can't believe I've forgotten her name. She's my favorite on the show. She's trying to hook the Ebony girl's trying to hook her up with a guy because she feels her friends keep treating her badly or whatever. So they're discussing, they met up with the matchmaker. So they were saying, asking her, well, how did it go? So that one was like, oh, we really had a good time. You know, Ebony wasn't trying to teach me. So she brought this whole thing up about their discussion. Anyway, why am I going through this whole long story? One of the chicks, Ramona, who had invited Ebony to her house, Ebony was also starting to do that whole black thing, and I was trying to shut it down. She was like, oh, here we go again. Are we going to do this again? I just want to have fun. I just want to have fun. I just want to have fun. Why am I bringing it up? Is it possible that white women, so they're all friends, right? And here's what the Ramona said. Ramona said, I don't see your struggle. You know, look at you here. She's like, I want your life. This is the Ramona girl's telling Ebony, I want your life. I want your handbag. I want you, you know, you look like you're living all right. You know, is it possible to excuse that behavior? Or do you feel like Ebony should continue to explain and teach and to show this is the Black experience, this is the Black struggle? You know, you need to understand where I'm coming from. What do you think?
I don't know. Sometimes I think there's value in teaching, but sometimes I'm like, if the person doesn't get it, they're blockhead, and ain't nobody got time for that. Because you can't be expected, I mean, first of all, you can't expect people who have not lived a certain experience to get it. So you have to have the grace to accommodate their ignorance. But after a while too, it's like, hello. I mean, I guess there are degrees. I don't know. I feel like it shouldn't be all that. You can't be on all the time trying to get people to understand and to be explaining and to say, you can't do this because of this. You can't be on all the time.
So there's another Black girl. This is Ramona's friend. Ramona met her. I don't know the girl's name. And that one's like, she's over the Yo Black from Harlem, and I'm white from Upper East Side or whatever. We're all human. Let's just get it going. Let's, you know, this is what the Black girl is, this other Black chick is saying. And Ebony's like, no, sis, you know, in her mind, because they show her confessionals and she's like, no, you know, don't do that. So they're all friends, supposedly all friends. They're all thrown together. They're castmates. So they're supposedly friends. But shouldn't your friend understand what it takes? Or should you just have a good time with your friends? Should you not bother that they don't, you know, it's like,
sometimes you have to have a good time.
Let's have fun, you know, let's not talk about all the stuff, you know? You know, she's like, you're privileged. The way this Ramona is looking at the Ebony is like, you're privileged. What are you talking about? Look at where you are. You're privileged. So in other words, Ramona is saying, whatever struggle you went through, you've overcome. So now enjoy your life. Let's have a good time. And Ebony's like, no, I want you to understand the struggle. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you have to find a balance, because you can't be completely left field or completely right field or complete. You have to find a balance. If not, you two, you will run mad. You can't, like I said, you can't be on all the time. You really can't be. At a certain point, I'm like, okay, let me just enjoy myself. It's like when someone does something to you, you have in that moment to decide, how am I going to respond? And you can decide to say, you know what, this is the hill I want to die on. Or you can say, you know what, it's okay, I'll get back at you another day. Or we'll have this conversation some other time. Let's just do what we're doing for now. It's really a decision. And sometimes, like, it gets tiresome sometimes when you're with someone who is on all the time. You're like, hello, let it rest. It's okay. We understand. But okay, let's have fun. We'll come back to your matter.
Yeah, because to me, it's I was watching and I was like, okay, it is bordering on over preachy. like, there was one episode where I was like, kudos, she really needed to be told, because Ramona was talking about Leah's need to always have to talk about sex and, you know, men's body parts, and she's like, it's just, you know, uncouth. That's not the word she used, because Ramona doesn't have a good grasp of the English language, but she was saying, look, this is not the way to do it. And then Ebony was trying to make excuses for Leah, and then all of a sudden, now, Ebony, you're angry. And Ebony was like, wait, what? That Leah that I'm making excuses for just came in here, yelled at all of you, called everyone here a ho, 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 and then left. Ramona has been here getting loud. You're over here in my ear telling me what not, and I'm the one who's angry?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, so check it.
Right. So that one, I give her kudos, because she had to. She said, let me explain this narrative to you. Let me let you know. You know, she was like, you know, your white fragility is causing you to do this. Wah, wah, wah. She broke it down to them. And I was like, good job. Good on you. But since that, and then right after that, then she did the Harlem thing and she was going in. And then, you know, so it's like every... And then again, you know what? It could be production. No, I don't think so, because that was a whole thing, you know. So I was like, calm down. I think that one outing you guys did at Luann's place and Ramona's, when you broke it down. She also had an issue with Ramona saying, I get my help confused. She said, I get my help confused, you know? and Ebony was like, no.
No, you didn't.
You don't call, but wait, let me ask you this. In Nigeria, what do you call your housemaid?
No, I'm not even worried about the words she used. I'm saying, what does she mean she gets her help confused?
She didn't know their names. Like, she was calling one name that wasn't. And that's what she said.
That's what I'm saying. What does she mean she gets them confused? This is not her help. How do you get your help confused?
She doesn't know that. I just told you. She said
that's the height of disrespect.
That it doesn't matter, but that wasn't Ebony's issue. Ebony's issue was that she called her help.
Yeah, but this is not what they are.
Okay, so there you go. See, that's what I'm saying. So Ramona is like, but she's my house help, so what should I call her? And then Ebony is like, okay, like when you put it that way, I get it. However, you know, there's a history of, you know, the black women and being called this and what. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I get that, but since we've not coined a new word for help, a help it's gonna be.
Oh, she's the house manager, my maid. Whatever, I don't know. But I was like, okay. I don't know about that helpful one, because she is a help.
House manager.
It's all the same.
It's all the same thing.
But is it not the same as air stewardesses saying they don't want to be called air stewardess? What do they call them now? They call them, or it's not even hostess. What do they call air? What do they call them?
I don't know. You know,
flight attendant.
You know what Shakespeare says.
Flight attendant. You can't call them air hostesses and air stewardesses anymore.
He says that a rose called by any other name smells still a rose. Sweet.
It's still a rose.
It is what it is. What it is, in my opinion, I understand that there is certain nomenclature that, you know, has certain connotations attached to it. I get that, but there are some of them that I think has transcended through time, where it's not as, the connection or the connotation is not as visceral or as raw as it used to be.
But to you,
the passage of time.
But to you, right. See, that's the black experience in this country.
I hear you. When it offends you, you have the opportunity and the right to speak up, and people that respect you will take a step back, take what you have said, and self-correct. Right? It's just like the choice that people have made not to use the term Akata to describe African American. Right? A lot of people have said, you know what, I don't like what that term denotes. I don't like the way that it is used. I'm no longer going to use that word to describe my African-American brother or sister. because it is a derogatory term.
See, some and that's the black experience here, and it's amazing. And you after you've lived in this country for so long, and you have your Nigerian friends or Ghanaian friends, whoever friends, who don't understand the black experience, things that you were watching over there, and you were thinking it's not a big deal, that you bring that behavior over here. You know, like another thing, I think we've talked about this one before as well, cultural appropriation. Somebody
we put have up, too.
Yes. Somebody put up a comment in there. A Nigerian on Facebook says she's over that word, the use of it. They're doing too much is what she was saying. And then there a whole bunch of different people came and commented. You know, this one was saying, someone says why that people do the appropriating and what. And I'm like, on one hand, I understand where they're coming from. But on another hand, I'm like, what is wrong in sharing and understanding other people's cultures? You know, like, I don't understand it. It's not just culture. Everybody, this now, I don't even know if that's even an argument anyone can have, really, because everybody's appropriating other things. Everything is being appropriated.
The word is English that is causing the problem. Just find another language.
Oh my God. Everything is everything. Like, really, where's your argument? If you can't call this person, if you can't say this person is appropriating something else, why are you saying this other one? I don't know. But I think we're getting there. I think what's going to happen is, like, there's going to be one big bang.
I'm glad you're finding the idea of a big bang funny.
No, it was a
big bang that got rid of all the dinosaurs.
Is it figuratively speaking? It's going to be a bang that's going to cause everybody to just realize it's not that serious. You know, it's like everybody's going to wake up and be like, okay, why have I been fighting this for so long? It is not that serious. Let's all be human and be happy. That's what's going to happen. That's the big bang I'm talking about.
Amen.
People
that's
just
not the other big bang, right?
No, not that one. I'm just saying, what's the word? Is it figuratively speaking? There's going to be an awakening, you know? Everyone's just going to wake up and understand, I am human, you're human. Just like every other animal in the planet, there are different and plants and birds. There are different species. We all are the same. We just look different, but we fall into the same category. I'm still a human being, just like you, you know?
Maybe not, because...
And then all will be right with the world.
Maybe, maybe not. I think that from the beginning of time, there's always been the need for certain people to feel that they need to dominate or subjugate or oppress people around them to feel better about themselves or get more land or get more property or get more weapons. There's always been that domination, competition.
That's true.
It's been there since time immemorial. So I don't know.
And it's going to continue to be there. However, yes. However, it will be there with the idea that we're all the same. You see what I'm saying?
I don't see how the
subjugation and the willingness to overtake was because they thought they were better. They're animals. What are these things? You see what I'm saying? And that's why they were doing...
Let me make my point.
I don't know why you're disagreeing, because that was it. The Vikings, the Europeans, when they came to Africa, the whole idea was they were better. And that's why they did, you know... But these weren't humans. They're not like us. So we're going to do this. But I'm saying now, that whole idea of I'm going to I'm going to own what I own or whatever. I'm going to take what I take. It won't be because you don't see this other person as a human. It's because you're now working with that inner greed that you have. And you're it's not about whether this person's a human. It's just because I want. I want to take it and I'm going to take it. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. What you're saying is that people are going to be competitive based on equality.
Exactly. I don't see you as a human being. Where's your tail? You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that they're going to, the competition or the want to take, to acquire will be because of their, this is just who they are. They're takers. And they're not doing it based on who you aren't or who they think you are or what people, they think you are.
There's a cliche that exists for a reason. And it says when you want to kill a dog, you first give it a bad name. It's very hard for human beings to, as I've noticed though, and there's no scientific substance behind this. This is just my own observation or opinion, so to speak. There is the when you don't have something to a way to label a person or to make them different from you, you don't necessarily want to compete with them. Then there's that camaraderie. There's that if say for example football teams, so Arsenal versus Man U. So Man U, this group of people have gotten together to fight against Arsenal against Arsenal, for example. So the difference is in the name. People will always find a way to differentiate themselves from the other so that they can compete or subjugate or dominate or take something that belongs to you.
But we're different, but we're human beings. That's the point I'm trying to make, is you celebrate the differences, but you understand, like I said, every bird, plant, whatever exists and has a different species depending on where they are. Climate dictates that, food, all those things dictate that, but still doesn't change the fact that you're a human being, is what I'm trying to say. So before, you're talking about people who go to a new land where they've never been before. They see people who are humans, but they immediately call them animals. And they say they're not human beings and they're beneath them. And then they enslave them or do all these different things to them because of their belief that these people aren't humans. And I'm saying that we have gotten to a point that you have to understand that we're all humans. Asians are humans. Africans, we're all the same core. We just have different, what's it called?
Different features.
Features, that's the word. We just have different features, and the reason part of that is because of where we were, climate, what we eat, whatever. But we're all the same. And so then it's not about, oh, I'm doing this because this person is less than me. It won't be about that. It will be, I'm doing this because I'm good at this, or I'm greedy. You know what I mean? I want everything. It won't be because I'm doing, because I can do it, because these people are less than me and they don't deserve what I want or what I have. It will just be about the person who's doing the taking. I'm greedy. I see you as a human being just like me, but I want what I want. Do you get me? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I hear you. I just don't agree that things will pan out that way.
Oh,
but we'll see. We have time. God grants us life. We'll see how we can revisit the conversation 10 years
this
from
is
now.
Not the, this is not back in the day where you're still discovering people. Like, you know, there's travel.
I said, we can.
Pandemic is all over the place. Pandemic is not just Asia. It's everywhere.
Let us mark today's dates. And this is 2021. So in 2031, we'll come back and revisit and see now. We'll have the conversation and see where we have evolved to as a human race globally, in you know, see where we are. It's not like time will tell.
It is my hope and it's my belief that one day everybody's going to wake up. And, you know, it's true. Right now, we're going through growing pains. It's going to be very, very difficult because what they're calling you woke, being woke, woke. Everyone has something to say. It's like it's being rammed down people's throats, and it needs to be, because it's like, when are you going to wake up and understand that this is something that's happening? It's 2021. Some police chief prints out this KKK thing and he puts it on.
He said it was just a joke.
Imagine that.
That's what he said.
Imagine that. So you think to yourself, what realm, what universe would any black person see that as a joke from a white person? Why would you think that's funny? This is 2021. And the fact that you don't realize that that's not funny, the fact that you went and you printed this mess out and put it on some, you have problems. So that's the thing. You can joke. One day we'll go back to we'll get back to where you laugh at, you know, these inappropriate jokes, because these stereotypes are actually, you know, factual. One day we'll go back to those days, but we're not there yet. Now it's like a scab, like a wound that's still raw. You know, it's
too sensitive to make fun of.
Exactly. You still, and that one, that particular KKK, it will never be funny. It'll never be funny. You know, so that's a joke that just needs to go away forever. That will never be. There are things that are going to be funny, no matter what. The other day, one of my friends put on Facebook about somebody says Calabar, Akwa Ibom, whatever. They're all different places. And then someone responded, but you guys still say, you know, talking about how they pronounce words. That's funny. Okay. One day we can laugh about things like that because that's funny. But right now, things are sensitive. You can't be printing KKK. That one will never be funny. You know? And that's when you know the history of the KKK, when you know the things that they did, you yourself should know you can't do things like that. It's ridiculous. So, my dear, one day that big bang will happen.
2031, it's a date.
What are we doing 2031? To see if things have changed.
Exactly. We'll have a conversation and go back and say, God grants us life. We'll have that conversation.
Well, as we're speaking, things are changing. Things are changing now.
We'll see how it evolves. I'm not saying that things are not changing. I'm saying it will be interesting to be in 2021 and look back to see how far we've come or not come, or in which direction we've branched off to, or whether we've stayed on this straight and narrow. It would be interesting.
Things are changing. It's a long road, you know, and the reason it's long is because there's still some people who think, oh, it's not a big deal. We don't have to talk about this. We will get to a point where we don't have to talk about it because you understand why it was important to talk about it in the first place. You know what I mean? And then when we get to that point where we don't have to talk about it, because you already know. You know that it was wrong to begin with, and that's this. And then now we've moved on because we recognize it. There are still a lot of white people on this earth who don't recognize the injustices, the systemic racism, all these things. They don't get it. And the reason they don't get it is because they don't want to get it. They've lived in their little bubble and they don't get it. In their mind, they're like, oh my God, slavery was days ago. Wow, wow, wow. Meanwhile, you don't have a college degree. You don't have all the things that this black person had to go through to get there. And yet.
You're there.
You're their boss. You know what I mean? You're making more money than this guy. Why? When this guy can do your job and 10 of you. So they don't get it. So once white people start understanding why it's an issue, and once they get it, and once they know, Oh, this is why all that happened then. I understand it. And and then the respect starts coming through, you know? And CEO of Wells Fargo cannot will not come out and make stupid utterances. They don't have enough of a talent pool in the black community or whatever. I was like, what are you talking about? When people stop making utterances like that, then everybody can chill. Then we can have a good time. Then there's no need to
All
try
right,
to
we'll be waiting
educate
for
somebody.
your big bang, figuratively speaking.
It will happen
And
anyway.
Amano.
Yeah,
All
well, that's the
That's it for today. Thank you for joining us.
leave us a 59-second voice note by clicking on the message button.
Comment, like, share, search for Tea with Mrs. S on the internet.
And if you like what you hear, subscribe by clicking on the support button.